And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. Extract 1. A Deadly Nursery Rhyme. The Nursery Rhyme. 10 Little Indians. 10 little Indians going out to dine. One went and choked herself, and then there were 9. 9 little Indian boys sat up very late. One overslept himself, and then there were 8. 8 little Indian boys travelling to Devon. One got left behind, and then there were 7. 7 little Indian boys playing with a hive. A bumblebee stung one, and then there were 5. 5 little Indian boys going in for law. One got in chancery, and then there were 4. 4 little Indian boys going out to sea. A red herring swallowed one, and then there were 3. 3 little Indian boys walking to the zoo. A big bear hugged one, and then there were 2. 2 little Indian boys playing with a gun. One shot the other, and then there was 1. 1 little Indian boy left all alone. He went and hanged himself, and then there were 9. Extract 2. The Voice.
The whole party had dined well. They were satisfied with themselves and with life. The hands of the clock pointed to 9:20. There was a silence, a comfortable, replete silence. Into that silence came the voice, without warning, inhuman, penetrating. "Ladies and gentlemen, silence, please." Everyone was startled. They looked around, at each other, at the walls. Who was speaking? The voice went on, a high, clear voice. "You are charged with the following indictments. Edward George Armstrong, that you did, upon the 14th day of March, 1925, cause the death of Louisa Mary Kless. Emily Caroline Brent, that upon the 5th of November, 1931, you were responsible for the death of Beatrice Taylor. William Henry Blore, that you brought the death of James Stephen Landor on October the 10th, 1928. Vera Elizabeth Claythorne, that on the 11th day of August, 1935, you killed Cyril Ogilvy Hamilton. Philip Lombard, that upon a date in February 1922, you were guilty of the death of 21 men, members of an East African tribe. John Gordon MacArthur, that on the 14th of January 1917, you deliberately sent your wife's lover, Arthur Richmond, to his death. Anthony James Marston, that upon the 14th day of November last, you were guilty of the murder of John and Lucy Combs. Thomas Rogers and Ethel Rogers, that on the 16th of May 1929, you brought about the death of Jennifer Brady. Lawrence John Wargrave, that upon the 10th of June 1930, you were guilty of the murder of Edward Seaton. Prisoners at the bar, have you anything to say in your defense?"
Extract 3. One went and choked his little self.
Wargrave said, "I'm not yet clear as to the purpose of our unknown host in getting us to assemble here. But in my opinion, this person, whoever he may be, is not sane in the accepted sense of the word. He may be dangerous. In my opinion, it would be well for us to leave this place as soon as possible. I suggest that we leave tonight."
Rogers said, "I beg your pardon, sir, but there's no boat on the island."
"No boat at all?"
"No, sir."
"How do you communicate with the mainland?"
"Fred Narricot. He comes over every morning, sir. He brings the bread and the milk and the post and takes the orders."
Mr. Justice Wargrave said,
"Then in my opinion, it would be well if we all left tomorrow morning as soon as Narricot's boat arrives."
There was a chorus of agreement with only one dissentient voice. It was Anthony Marston who disagreed with the majority.
"A bit unsporting, what?" he said. "Ought to ferret out the mystery before we go. Hell, things like a detective story. positively thrilling.
The judge said acidly,
At my time of life, I have no desire for thrills, as you call them.
Anthony said with a grin,
The legal life's narrowing. I'm all for crime. Here's to it.
He picked up his drink and drank it off at a gulp. Too quickly, perhaps. He choked badly. His face contorted, turned purple. He gasped for breath, then slid down off his chair, the glass falling from his hand.